Welcome to Me Time, the podcast for women in midlife who've been taking care of everyone else and now say, it's my turn to take care of me. I'm Kim Aceto, health and self-care coach for women in midlife and your host. Thank you for spending your precious me time with me right now. Enjoy the show. Okay, today I'm here with Natalie Peterson. Natalie is a stamina coach and lifestyle change expert. She's a creator of the Stamina Protocol, Stamina to Care, and Fuel and Fit, Habits for Life. She helps busy professionals and organizations battle the symptoms of burnout and increase their productivity, energy, health, and happiness. Natalie has 13 years experience in organizational development and human skills training. Natalie holds a Master Trainer Certification in Situational Leadership, the Leader's Protocol, the Service Protocol, Forte Communication, and is a Marshall Goldsmith Certified Executive Coach. Natalie has traveled all over the United States and Latin America implementing leadership curriculums into organizations across every industry, from healthcare to retail and global call centers. She has a master's degree in exercise physiology, a certification as a strength and conditioning specialist through the NSCA, and a 200-hour yoga teacher certification. Natalie, welcome to the Me Time Midlife Podcast.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on today, Kim. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Me too. I'm so glad that we kept in touch. We had a similar mentor for many years, would you say? And we've kind of moved into different areas of our lives now, but I'm so glad that we connected. And here we are, we're going to be talking about, you know, like burnout and leadership and all of those different things. But before we begin, I want to ask you the question I ask every guest, which is, what do you enjoy doing during your me time?
What a great question. So I have my go-to, me time, which is like a piping hot bath with ridiculous amounts of Epsom salt. And that's a cure-all for everything. But I will say that I tend to do a little bit of self-analysis or self-assessment when I get my me time. And it's usually I am in need of something that's the opposite of what I've done all day. So if I've spent a lot of time in solitude, like working on a computer or even doing a lot of just creating and writing, then I'm going to want to get outside and move my body and do something a little bit more intense. But if I've been stimulated all day and had a lot of conversations with people, then that's when I'm going to want to retreat and read a book or take that bath. So I tend to go based off of how I'm feeling that day and what I need the most.
Right. That's great. I think that we should do that. I often talk about like this pendulum, like the, when it comes to exercise, you know, the harder you work out, the harder you need to recover, right? It's like that pendulum needs to swing equally in both directions. And yeah, when it comes to me time too, I think one of our previous guests also likes to take she didn't call it a piping hot bath, but a hot bath with Epsom salt was definitely her go-to as well. So that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So I read your bio, which is very impressive. You have a ton of certifications in like exercise and leadership and burnout and all this kind of stuff. Well, maybe it's not a certification in burnout, but I do want to have a conversation with you about that today because we kind of serve a similar audience, you know, busy professionals. Mine are specifically busy midlife female women professionals. And a lot of the topics that we talk about kind of overlap. So I wanted to have a conversation with you today. But in layman's terms, can you kind of share with us, like, who would be someone that would come to you? And how would you help them?
Sure. So my typical client or guest that I serve is someone who tends to be quite successful in their career in terms of the goals that they're going after. However, they are also dealing with a very full life plate. So a lot going on, a lot of responsibilities, but not necessarily trying to get out of any of those responsibilities. So I'm not working with people who are looking to quit their jobs or to scale back. But what they're looking to do is reach higher levels of performance. However, they know that continuing with the way things are today is not going to get them where they want to go. So it tends to be, someone with a family. I work with a lot of people who are primary earners. So there's a lot on their responsibility plate in terms of what they're responsible for in terms of output each month for their family. So that brings on a lot of stress. And generally someone who has high expectations for themselves and for their life as well.
Right. Yes. So they're juggling multiple roles and responsibilities. They might have a lot of pressure because they might be the sole earner in their family. And they're trying to advance in their careers and do well professionally, right? They're all kind of similar things. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So these things are very common, right? I mean, a lot of people are dealing with all of these different things. So, what kind of approaches do you use when you experience someone who's coming to you who wants maybe some more balance in their lives or to reassess their priorities, or whatever it is, what are some, strategies that you use to kind of get them going in that right direction?
Right. Well, the first thing that I do is I do an assessment with them just in terms of overall, how's your energy? How's your life right now? How do you feel mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and just get a baseline of where they're at today. I have a self-assessment that I have designed that essentially takes a look at your health and your happiness indicators in your life, which helps us get started in terms of the immediate action steps that will help you feel better now rather than later. And then once we get that baseline understanding of how's your energy, how's your stress, how are the overall state of things in your life, then we move on to, well, what's your vision for what you want to be and what you want your life to be like? What are the things that you value in addition to the mission that you may have for your life? And then we start to take a look at to get from here to there, what does vision to results look like? What are the things that you're going to have to do? What changes are required? What things perhaps do you need to take off of your plate? And then we strategize step by step, kind of a roadmap to get them to where they want to go. But the first thing is always to get a very clear picture of where things are today. So then we can pinpoint the few things that, if applied right now, are going to make the most immediate difference in their lives. Because I think most important for people when they're coming to me, if they're overwhelmed or if they're looking to change, is you have to have stamina and energy. You have to feel good. You have to be able to enter the day with momentum, with motivation. And if you don't have that, then that's always where we start. And then just based on the results that they start to get simply from making changes to their energy rituals, that's when we see the most obvious next place to go in terms of reaching the goals that they may have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you do a self-assessment with them. You assess their health, their happiness, their priorities, their energy, which is so important, right? I remember our mentor once, I don't know if he's the one who said it or got it from somebody else, but he said when we talk about roles, life is like an orchestra. Like sometimes the violins are loud and the drums are soft, and sometimes the drums are loud and the violins are soft. And so, trying to juggle all of these different areas and roles in our lives where we want to be great at all of them, but that's really hard to do. What are your thoughts about, women and, the roles that we play and doing well in those roles? What's been your experience with your clients?
Well, first, I love the orchestra analogy because I think that's exactly how life works. But what I tend to notice with women especially is that we expect ourselves, and the clients I work with expect ourselves, to be everything to everyone all the time, to be able to give 100% in all of our roles. And as you and I both know, that's just not possible. That's not how things work together. And I think you can sustain that for a very short amount of time, but that's also one of the quickest ways that you burn out. So what I like to think of it, in addition to that, that great analogy you gave about the orchestra, is to to be able to accept and acknowledge that during some periods, your career is going to take priority. During some periods, it's going to be your family or your kids, your spouse. Sometimes it's your health. And so it's important to define for each of the roles that you show up as in your life. I think it's important to define how you want to show up. So to have descriptive words for you to remember who you want to be in that moment. You know, for example, if in your career you want to show up as a leader, as confident, as productive, those are the words and associations that you go into that role with. In your family, if you want to show up as present, as encouraging and loving, that's a way to transition and fill that role a little bit differently. But I think we tend to, as women, just go and go and go and not allow ourselves to scale back or pull back in any areas. And I think that is a particular challenge where we eventually see that stress and burnout taking over because it's just too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, what you said reminded me of a previous guest I had, Kim Hall, and she had this like growing business, and it was just, I mean, her business was scaling and it was doing really well. But at the same time, her dad was really ill and needed a lot of her care. And so what she did was she dedicated Wednesdays just to like take care of her dad, right? That was the priority on Wednesdays. And she would take him to the doctor. She would like take him to the store or whatever, you know, run errands for him. But yeah, I mean, and that's where we can be 100% on, you know, focused on something at one time. And I think that's a huge problem that I find when I talk to women in midlife, my demographic is multitasking. Like there's the multitasking you do, like where, like I might be listening to a podcast and washing the dishes or listening to a podcast and cooking. Like there's that kind of multitasking. Okay. But then there's the physical multitasking, but then there's the mental multitasking, right? Where we have all these tabs open on our phones, or we have all these tabs open on our computers, and we're clicking to this, to that, and we're thinking, oh, we got to pick up this person at this time, and what are we going to have for dinner, and you know, all this kind of stuff, right? And I think that causes burnout immediately within our day, and then over time, it's just not sustainable. What are your thoughts about multitasking and
all that? I definitely agree with you on that. And I have to work hard at it myself.
Me too.
not necessarily always the a million tabs open doing a bunch of things, although I'm guilty of that as well. But I can be guilty of, if I'm not careful, trying to combine two roles at one time. Mm-hmm. And I think not only does that lead us to burnout and overwhelm, but then it also leads us to a place where we're not showing up as who we want to be in our roles either. So we're having these high expectations of ourselves, and we're multitasking all our different roles, but then we're realizing that we're not really doing and being as effective as we want to be in any of them. So I like that, what you're saying about being able to dedicate certain days of the week, certain hours of the day even. And that's where I think the time blocking is so important for busy midlife or any busy professional to figure out what it is that's priority and then plug it into your day and calendar so that you know there's time for it later, so you can try to avoid some of the multitasking that might take place in the moment. Because you're absolutely right. When we are trying to do six different things all at once, it's not actually more efficient. I think research has proven that time and time again, but because of our easily distractible minds, we get pulled away so easily still.
Yes, exactly. Right. And another thing I think is, you know, there are some roles where we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be outstanding. I think that it's good to adopt a kind of good enough for some roles type of mindset. And I mean, it doesn't sound great to just do this good enough, but sometimes that's all that's needed. And we can strive so much for perfection, but that has nothing to do with us. I feel it has to do with how people perceive us. I want to make sure that everything is done correctly. Everything, every little detail is right, because we care about what someone else might think. But maybe it's good enough the way it is. I don't know. What are your thoughts about good enough and perfection and those things, right? What do you think?
Well, as a recovering perfectionist myself, I definitely agree with what you're saying, that that I think sometimes just showing up and being there is enough. Especially it makes me think of my role as a mom, that when I try to blend my role as a business owner or a coach into my mom time, that's when I screw everything up. So if I'm able to just show up and just be there, there's no perfect. My daughter's 2.5. She's just happy that I'm playing with her and painting and whatever it is that we're doing. So I think exactly just showing up and being present can be so much more impactful than if we're striving for perfect. Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. You know, I mean, you've done coaching education as well as I have. And something that's just really emphasized with our clients is the importance of being present. Because that is such a gift, because when our minds are always someplace else or we're thinking about other things and we're not present, it's like that's a disservice to the person that we're with, right? It's a disservice to our client or to our friend or to our spouse or to our parent or whatever. And sometimes, on the other hand, you know, just showing up sometimes is, you know, your physical presence is also important.
I think I would love to talk a little bit about the challenge that women in their midlife face in terms of rediscovering who they are. I think that's a topic that comes up a lot with the people that I work with. And I can imagine with your client base that you hit midlife, and whether you're a working professional or not, you hit this point in life where you're entering a transition, and coping with that and redefining who you are as a woman, that's a big deal. And so I think that's a great place for us to go with our conversation. Is that something that comes up for you, this whole reinventing yourself and creating a new identity?
Oh, yeah. One of my programs is Reinvent Your Health. Yeah, that time of, and then I have another one called Redesign Your Life. So yeah, absolutely. This is a huge transitional time for, you know, because so many things are happening that are not necessarily in their control. Their body might be changing, and their parents are aging and their kids are leaving the nest, and they're reexamining their careers after they've been maybe doing the same thing for 25 years. You know, do I still want to do this? They're reexamining their marriage sometimes. You know, I've been with this person for 25 years. Am I happy? Do I want to spend the next 25 years of my life with this person? Right. So there's a lot of that. It's scary. It's exciting. It's, I think it's both of those things. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. All of what you said, I think obviously our work complements each other's quite nicely. And I think that just the ability to give yourself permission to ask yourself what you want now is such a huge thing. I think that women can fall into the pattern of doing so much for others, for putting themselves, or get into the habit of putting themselves on the back burner. And so even to just acknowledge what do I need and want is a whole new journey for some women. And I think also, in addition to being okay with asking that question, is allowing yourself to change what you desire and change what you want in this next chapter in your life. Because again, like you said, when things are changing, kids are leaving, all of a sudden you have a different dynamic with your spouse, or you start questioning, well, maybe I want to reinvest in some of my passions that I've set aside while I've raised my kids or been just dedicated to my career for all this time. So asking not only what is it that I want now, and realizing that what you wanted 20 years ago, it's okay to want something different for the next 20 years of your life as well.
Yeah. Especially because I've mentioned this before, but women never used to live past menopause. They would not, people would die at 30, 40, you know? And so now, you know, with technology and medicine and just, you know, people paying more attention to their health, like just sanitation and all this kind of stuff, we're living longer, right? I mean, it won't be uncommon for us to live to 90 or 100, you know? So these questions are so important. And, you know, again, the things that you wanted in your 20s, like you said, when you're younger, are not necessarily the things you want now or have to want. One of the things I do with some clients who are really thinking about these questions is I have them discover their core values again and their strengths, because, you know, our core values are the things that are most important to us. These are the things that we really value. I give them a list of 400 different values and I make them narrow it down to 5, which is hard to do, but it really comes down to, wow, these are the 5 things that are most important to me. And then strengths, those things can maybe change over time too, due to the roles that we've had in our lives, maybe the jobs that you've had or the experiences you've gone through. You know, we develop different strengths through those things. So yeah, re-examining those core values, those strengths, and that vision of what you want and need for your life going forward are critical things to look at. What are your thoughts?
I think the one piece I'll add to that is, in addition to going through all of that, you realize you may need to change who you are a little bit in order to achieve a new vision that you have for your life. Or perhaps you're looking at your current strengths and skills and you realize you want to add to that. You want to go after something new. So I think not only is it vital to determine what your vision is and your values are, but it's also important to kind of audit your life and your character and your identity and take a look at, okay, here's the person I am now. Here's the person I want to become. Where are the gaps? And then how do I begin to fill those gaps? And also making sure that you take the time to really ask yourself, do you see yourself in this future vision that you have? Because if you can't see yourself as this new person, then it's going to be really hard to get there. So there's certain things that I do that you're able to envision this new identity for yourself, kind of let go of anything that would keep you from envisioning yourself there and getting there. So yeah, looking at strengths, but also I think looking at where are areas of opportunity to develop and how are we going to gain possibly different skill sets and close the gap between who we are today and who we want to become. And sometimes that can be a long journey, which, as you know, that's one of the benefits of working with a coach, is kind of keep you on track and remind you that, you know, some mountains take longer to climb than others, but it's well worth the journey.
Yes. Right. I like how you don't use the word weaknesses, but rather areas of opportunity to develop, right? Opportunity to develop in these different areas. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I think that's great. One of the exercises I have my clients do is a look back story. I usually have them do this at the beginning of the year. So they will, they'll think about on a smaller scale, you know, than maybe 5 years out or 10 years out. I'll have them think about, you know, what they want, where they want to be, what that would look like by the end of the year, and then write in the past tense how they got there, you know? So it's that envisioning, and it's getting into, I mean, the visioning part is so important, and so are the details, right? Being able to see it, and being able to, just the more detail that you can put into your vision, the better, wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah. Yes. The more detail, I think it was exercise that probably our mutual mentor had us do, where you write down that like mundane yet ideal day, like from the moment you get up to the moment you go to bed, what does your day look like? And yeah, I think that's incredibly important, because we're not talking like our perfect ideal vacation day, right? That we're not going to get all the time. But if you're looking to shift and change your life, how do you want just a normal day to be? And what does that look like? And it's making me remember, as you talk about vision, kind of writing in the past tense of how you got there. I saw something the other day, And it was a tip I hadn't heard before, possibly you have, but when writing your vision, to kind of end it with that I want all of this or something even better. Because I think that there's parts of us that we can't even imagine what we're possible or what we're capable of or the possibilities. So to be able to say, here's the vision I have for my life or something even better still that I can't bring to mind right now. So it just kind of continues to open our mind to the possibilities. And I don't know about you, but I loved that. And I'm definitely going to be including that in my own visioning and then giving that suggestion to people I work with because, you know, we're limited to our experiences today. So right. To be able to just put that out there in the universe to say, hey, and anything else that's really great, I'd love that too. I'm open to that as well.
Right. Yeah, I love that. I'm writing it down. Yeah, so I'm going to say it again. I want all of this or something even better that I might not be able to see right now. Oh my gosh, I love that so much. I'm going to use that too for my own visioning. As we, you know, are close to a new year, right? I think that's super important. And also, I mean, we're jumping all over the place, but it's all relevant. You know, for single women, they might have this vision of, you know, this person that they want to be with, like this companion that they want to have. And they might get so stuck in that vision based on, again, who they are now and their experiences now. But there might be, so I want all of this, or maybe someone even better that I might not be able to see right now, right? Because then you could be turning away opportunities, or you might not be seeing things that might be right for you, right? You're closing off those opportunities. So I don't know why that came to mind, but for all the single women out there, well, this applies, I think.
It made me smile when you brought that up because I completely believe that I manifested the husband that I have now.
Really?
Into my life. Yes. Because of what you just said, that I didn't tell anyone about this at the time because I just thought they would think I was, you know, kind of out of my mind a little bit. And maybe I was, but I had decided, this was back in 2011. I decided like, this is the year I'm going to meet the guy I'm going to marry, period. I am, you know, I'm done with all of the, you know, accepting less than what I'm worth and getting into situations where I have to play games and, you know, all these things. So it was like, I made this list of like, I don't know, 50 different qualities of a relationship that I would want. And I was basically like, okay, I'm done with everything else that doesn't qualify. And it's like almost like I knew it when I saw it, but yet I didn't want to ever, you know, tell anybody that, but it was the person that I was going to marry. And I do think that there's a certain aspect of opening yourself up to that, setting certain expectations for yourself. And sometimes it's kind of boundaries around yourself and what you're willing to accept and put up with. And then, you know, in addition to the manifestation, like this is what I'm going to do this year, of course it takes action. So being open to new things, to, you know, different patterns, you know, we get stuck in these ruts of repeating past experiences. And I think, like you said, just being open to doing things differently and maybe a person that you wouldn't have been attracted to or drawn to in the past, maybe that's a good thing. Because if you've repeated bad relationships or relationships that didn't lead anywhere, it's so important to figure out how to break that cycle. So I like that you went there with the relationship.
I told you we didn't know where we were going to go today. So that's what's fun about the conversation, just having the conversation with you. So Natalie, I really enjoyed having a conversation with you about burnout and roles. And I mean, we talked about all different types of things. Do you have a final thought that you'd like to leave? Maybe let's envision, before we go, let's envision the busy midlife professional woman, okay, who's listening. And what would be a word of wisdom that you would like to leave her?
I would like for anyone who's listening to truly give themselves permission to invest in what they need. And if you currently believe in the myth that self-care is selfish, I want to give you the permission also to break that myth within yourself, knowing and assuming the amount of things you're giving and doing for others. Just that reminder that you will only be able to give as much as you give yourself. So fill yourself up completely, invest in what you need, knowing that you're really charging yourself up to continue to lead and serve and give to other people.
I love that. Yes, because that's ultimately what brings us joy, is the service, the giving, the helping others, and, you know, making our lives and the lives of others and the world a better place, right? So I love all of that, and especially giving yourself permission and investing in yourself. Love it all, Natalie. So thank you so much. I'm going to leave a link for you to get in touch with Natalie if you'd like, her website. So you can go and check out all the stuff that she's got going on there. Natalie, thanks again for coming on to the Me Time Midlife podcast and having a conversation with me today.
Thank you, Kim. It was wonderful.
If you find the Me Time Midlife podcast valuable, there are many ways you can support it. The best way is to simply tell your midlife friends about it. It also helps the show's visibility if you rate and review it on iTunes, Stitcher, or simply directly in your Apple Podcasts app if you listen to the show that way. And if you want more me time in your life and continue the conversations we have on the show with other women on a similar journey, consider joining our Me Time Midlife community on Facebook. Simply search for Me Time Midlife Community in your Facebook search bar, or go to metimemidlifepodcast.com to learn more. Thank you again for listening. And until next time, remember, you've been taking care of everyone else. It's your turn to take care of you.